As you approach the chateau, it appears subtle, with the wings of it welcoming you. The courtyard stretches before you, offering space to inhale the crisp air of rural central Bohemia. As you see the entrance, the courtyard draws you in, promising a vibrant history to explore and learn from. Immediately upon entry, you learn that the chateau is 300 years old. However, the chateau was constructed on the site of a former medieval fortress, with the earliest mention of this fortress dating back to 1223. The same year is also regarded as the first recorded mention of the village of Locheng. Between this time and 1618, the fortress changed hands among various landowners. The guide summarized the three families that lived in the chateau.
There were three aristocratic families that lived here at the castle. It was the family of Wallenstein, or in German it is Waldstein. It depends on the pronunciation. After that, it was the family of Fürstenberg, and the last noble family that lived in the castle till the end of the Second World War. It was the princely German family of Thurn und Taxis.
In 1612, Václav Berka of Duba the Elder acquired the fortress that would later become the chateau and the neighboring villages. Following the Battle of White Mountain in 1620, Berka fled the country, and his fortress was confiscated in 1622 due to his involvement in the estate's resistance. In 1623, Adam of Waldstein, one of the most significant families mentioned, purchased Berka's confiscated properties. But that history does not end there. As we continue our tour, we make our way up the staircase lined with a bright red carpet. We walk past portraits of families, landscape, and restored ornaments that portray the beauty that adorned the chateau. With each step, we uncover more about the noble families that lived here and how they coped with the wars that struck the region. For example, during the Thirty Years' War, the villages around Nymburk suffered greatly due to invading armies. It wasn't until 1704-1713 that Karl Arnošt of Waldstein began restoring the ruined fortress in Locheng, transforming it into a Baroque chateau. A chapel was added, later rebuilt as the Church of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. After Karl Arnošt's death, his daughter Eleonora inherited the estate, passing it on to her daughter Maria Anna, who took a firm hand in managing the estate. Maria Anna married Josef Fürstenberg, transferring Locheng Chateau from the Waldsteins to the Fürstenberg family. This is the second most significant family that resided at the chateau. We enter a library that was designed, we were told, to resemble the English clubs in London and Oxford. There we discuss the various ways that the families acquired money for the estate and for the Habsburgs. This was particularly emblematic of the Thurn und Taxis family, which acquired Locheng Chateau through marriage to a Fürstenberg princess in 1809. Shortly after, in 1813, the family hosted Emperor Franz Josef I and Russian Tsar Alexander I. Through the added income and notoriety the chateau gained under Thurn und Taxis, the grounds of the chateau are given royal semblance. In 1828, under Charles Anselm of Thurn und Taxis, an English park was added to the chateau gardens. In 1838, Charles Anselm also built the clerk's house at Locheng, which now serves as the Hotel Maximilian. A key part of the exhibition is the postal service under the noble families. The tour guide commented on some of the main ways these noble families made money. Any services concerning the delivery of letters, messages, documents, and so on started with these families in the Middle Ages.
It was the postal system. They were postal general manager of the in the Holy Empire, and which encompassed the whole Europe, I can say, without France and Scandinavia.
Along with this wealth, the chateau gained a reputation of housing great riches, and for good reason. The Soviets themselves brought the wealth disparity between the peasants living in the nearby villages and the noble families living here prior to the Second World War to the forefront of imaginations.
It is difficult to say, but inhabitants of this area mainly, but there were other people also, and they were stirred up by the Soviet agitators, and the Soviet soldiers were billeted in the castle till the end of July, yes, from the beginning of May till the end of July.
After a number of decades, the chateau was restored. It opened to the public following a complete restoration from 2000 to 2007. Visitors can now enjoy guided tours led by costumed characters such as a butler, castellan, or princess. The chateau's English park and hotel were also renovated, and the Lochin Labyrinth was added to the grounds. In addition to the labyrinths, the park features several ponds, fountains, a ball field, suspended footbridges, and a rope center. Other highlights include an amphitheater, a gazebo, and Prince Alexander's house. Prior to its opening up to the public, it was popular with the intelligentsia, composers, and other noble families.
An array of celebrities came to the castle. There were writers, journalists from Vienna and from Prague, and many very known names, for example, American writer
Mark Twain,
yes. He stayed at the castle during 2 months during his travels throughout Europe. And after that, there was also, for example, Franz Kafka, or the daughter of our president Masaryk, came to the castle because Alexander supported the Red Cross that she found. And what about I have to mention first of all among the regular guests it was Bedřich Smetana, our Czech composer. He lived nearby from here, and in Jabkenice, in the village, at the forest house of his daughter and his son in love. And from this forest house he took some strolling and some walking, and he came very often to the castle, and he performed at the piano. You can see it's the original instrument that was preserved in the castle.
The chateau continues to draw countless visitors from around the globe. As our tour comes to an end, we bid farewell, with the vibrant chateau standing proudly in the background, fulfilling its promise of history. As the years pass, there is no doubt that it will reveal even more.